Hello, welcome back to an episode of Walker Wisdom. Today I am joined with Suzanne Bergeron, the Assistant Director for Communications at the Bowdoin College Museum of Art. Thank you so much for coming today.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here, Andrew.
Yes. So let's just get started. How would you describe your role at the BCMA?
Well, I really have the traditional communications role. It's a common position within museums. So I take care of news, social media, publications, website. But what I have that many people don't have in communications roles is I have an exhibition component to my job that I work with all the graphics, and I work a lot with the curatorial team working on exhibition graphics, and I produce all the labels, and anything you see on the wall has gone through me. So it's, you know, labels, signage, maps, all of that stuff, and that's the really fun part of my job. One of the really fun parts of my job.
Yes. You also do, like, some of the merch that we have at the BCMA as well, right?
I do, because I work with, that's another fun part of my job, is that I work with the museum shop manager, particularly with any printed products that we produce, like, you know, note cards, postcards, that sort of thing, because that goes through a commercial printer, and I have those contacts, and I work a lot with graphic designers, and I have them work that. And then this year I got to make a baseball cap for the Museum of Art Gala, and then we have them available for sale in the shop. So that was really fun. But I did work with a graphic designer on that as well.
Mm-hmm. How did you find your way to the BCMA?
Andrew, I have been here forever, and I hesitate to say when I walked in, but I went to college. I had a degree in visual arts, in sculpture and printmaking. Not a clue what I wanted to do, but I just loved art. So through pure serendipity, somebody told me that there was a position open at the museum as secretary to the director. And so I walked in, and I bless Catherine Watson every day for hiring me. I just don't know how it happened, and I am thrilled that I landed in a career that is just perfect. It's just fantastic. I've had a lot of different roles in the museum. I started in 1979, so I've been there over 40 years, and I've worked with, you know, 5 directors, I don't know how many curators, and I've had a lot of different roles, and it's just fantastic. So I just came in because I had those skills. At that point, we had typewriters and dictaphones and that. I knew how to type. I knew how to take shorthand. And it was sort of related to my degree, so I was thrilled. I mean, a lot of people, you know, just, especially in the arts at that time, they did not end up in the arts at all. So I was thrilled.
In the initial stages of your career, did you think art would play such a major role?
Of my career. Yes. Well, I mean, I didn't even dare hope. You know, I sort of hoped it is, but it's not like I planned it. I mean, it really, the whole thing has just been a wonderful sequence of events and mentors. I really didn't know what I wanted to do, but I just love art, and I had the art history, and that's been something great that, of course, I've learned more and more art history over so many years and working with so many fabulous colleagues that have gone on to other wonderful things, and so many great students that who are now directors of museums themselves. It's sort of crazy.
No, I can definitely see how your background has made all the programming so amazing and enjoyed by a lot of people.
Oh, that's very nice. I mean, I think, it's the implementation. It's the implementation role that I have, and it's really been the directors that we've had over time have all had slightly different interests, so that's changed over time, what we've done.
Did you find yourself collaborating with another department within the BCMA and outside of it particularly often?
I really work with everyone on staff, just because everything, it's sort of universal, and nobody else does what I does. Is that didn't come out right. Nobody else does what I do. Yes. As far as graphic standards, grammar, signage, and I have the skill set for that, so I work with everybody on the staff. But I work a lot with the directors on the curatorial team particularly, and that's really, really fun to hear what they're up to, and just to hear the whirl of how they get to these exhibitions and the research that they're doing. It's always been fun, and it continues to be fun.
How would you say your work-life balance is?
I love my job, as I said. Mm-hmm. So it just, But it's not like I take it home. I mean, I do have a life outside of the museum, which is fine and rich. I love working at Bowdoin, but I also love living in Maine. And I grew up in Brunswick. Well, pretty much. I came here when I was in junior high. So, you know, pretty much I've grown up in Brunswick. I went away to college, but then I just came back and I just loved the lifestyle here. Mm-hmm. You know, I have friends from campus, but I have friends from town, friends from all over. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's a good balance. Is that what you mean? I wasn't exactly sure what you meant by that question.
I just meant like how much your work takes up in your life. How much does it make up? And how does that differ from the things you do outside of?
Well, and of course, I go to museums. I mean, anyway, I mean, obviously my interests are in the arts or in museums, so that's part of my personal life as well. But I think it's a good separation. Mm-hmm. It's a good separation and balance. All of my interests are not art. I have a lot of other interests, and so I take care of that.
Mm-hmm. What surprised you most as you settled into your position here?
Now, I just was thinking of what time period you're talking about. I mean, you know, it's like settled a long, long time ago.
So let's say in the early stages of your career here at Bowdoin, and then just have there been any new surprises even now?
Surprises? No, that's everything's always changing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think, Andrew, when I started here, I thought I'd be here for 2 years, and then I would go on to something else, go to, you know, graduate school, do this or that, and it's constantly surprising. It's the flow of exhibitions, programs, and that's the public part, but then there's the behind-the-scenes part and how the museum has grown and museum issues, and I've been really involved with those in several of my positions. Because I was, I mean, to start back, because I was the secretary to the director for probably, probably 9 or 10 years with Catherine Watson. And then a position opened that I was the assistant director for operations, which is sort of the position that Amy holds now. I mean, it's gotten bigger and so forth. And then I became the assistant director for communications. I haven't done the same thing for all those years. I've had different sorts of responsibilities. And surprising, I guess I've been surprised and just thrilled, and we'll get to this in another question, with after we reopened, after the renovation, what we can do. I mean, we were dreaming for a lot of years of what we'd be able to do if we had a building and the climate and everything that we really needed professionally to be a national and even international player. And we're doing it, and it surprises me and thrills me on a daily basis.
In your many years of experience here, have you seen a change in the way the BCMA and other museums operate?
Oh, of course. The field has changed so much from the 80s to now. I mean, it's enormously different. I think that the qualifications, you know, thinking of young people going into museum work, you know, that's raised up at this point. When I started, I think the accreditation process was just starting, the AAM accreditation process, which really had a standardized set of things that museums should do. I didn't want to say standardized set of standards, but that's what I mean. There's like the guidelines, and there's really standards, and they're strict, and they're across the whole United States, so that really, we spent a long time catching up with those and then continuing along with those. There were programs we hardly even had. I mean, conservation was not on the top of the list when I started. And, of course, that's a core part of what we do, taking care of the collections. And then I think a huge change came more or less with the digital age and what we can do now. And I do publications, one of the favorite things that I do. But now we do things digitally, and how we get information out is so, it's so different. It's so immediate. It's interesting because it looks instant. Mm. It still takes such an enormous amount of work behind the scenes to make sure that we've got a quality product going out. We are a museum. We do have standards for, you know, for all sorts of things. Just think about the labels that you may or might not know. Every object label has a descriptive paragraph. That goes through about 5 rounds of editorial review before it hits the wall. Wow. You know, it takes a lot of expertise, a lot of time. And similarly, everything that goes on the website is completely vetted. We represent not only the Museum of Art, of course, but we also represent Bowdoin. And I'm very aware that I'm so lucky to work at an academic art museum. But we are not an independent organization. We're not like the Portland Museum of Art or the Farnsworth. We're part of Bowdoin College. And yes, we have to always be mindful that whatever we say, wherever we go, we are Bowdoin College to people that we meet. And I even think about this. This is like crazy when you talk about the life-work balance. When I'm in the supermarket and I meet people, I realize I'm not just Suzanne shopping for, you know, potato chips. And I run into people who have met me at the museum. I realize that I'm Bowdoin College to them, even in that setting. So it's a small, small town. You run into people everywhere, and it's delightful, but you just can never let go of that role a little bit. And now I even forget what the question was because I've gone off on a tangent.
No, that was, I think, a lot of people focus on how the way exhibitions work has changed and how it's starting to play more of a social activist role. But
Interesting.
Yes, but I do really find it refreshing how you're bringing in to perspective how communications, but also how a museum is represented has changed. And I think that's a very unique answer that I haven't gotten before.
I have a different sort of role.
Yes.
Because I'm really thinking about that all the time. And even thinking about how we get word out about the museum. For years and years and years, I mean, we wrote our own press releases, we did this and this. We now have a firm that helps us with national and international press. And not only, so of course they distribute and so forth, but they give us strategic options. And so if we have something we're doing, it's sort of a checkpoint for us on a national level. We're up here in the northeast part of the United States. And, I mean, Frank and Anne are fabulous. They know what's going on. I think a lot of it is their Smithsonian training. But sometimes we bring something up that we think is a great idea, and our representative will say, let's just stop for a moment, back up, think how this is going to be bouncing off what's going on nationally. When you talk about the social impact of exhibitions and so forth, and he'll say, let's just be careful about this. Not be careful, but let's just think very quietly and quickly on what we're saying. We don't want anything to come back at us. And once again, that's the thing. We're part of Bowdoin College. We want to make sure we're supporting the Bowdoin College.
In a different communication. Way, responsibility.
Yeah, yeah. And we're great for the college from my point of view. I mean, we are one of the few places that's open to the public. We're sort of the window to the town. A lot of people, well, you're a student, but it's a private college. We seem privileged in the town, and we have been fortunate to be here for, over 225 years. Yes. How long have we been here? Bowdoin is incredibly supportive. Not only I think they contribute in many ways, but then so much is open at Bowdoin to the public. But the public doesn't realize that. And so we just have to be
mindful,
and the museum can do that for the college. The college wants to be part of the community. That's part of our mission. And we're open to the public, and we can do that for the college. And we can have great news stories, and positive.
Yes.
Pretty much positive things. And the things we're doing, we touch huge issues through our exhibitions, huge, big social issues. And we can bring people in to think in a different way and quietly contemplate and have good kind of conversations right in front of works of art. And we want to start conversations and keep those going.
I know a big emphasis of the museum, but also the college, is just making conversations. Looking back, is there a specific exhibition or project that you are most proud of?
It really was that renovation. That when I walked in 1979... Catherine Watson said, now next year, Suzanne, we will be doing climate control and a renovation. In 2005, we broke ground. So it was a long, long 25 years just getting everything in line. We had a lot of false starts. We did a lot of improvements. I used to be really involved with facilities. Mm-hmm. I mean, we replaced the dome, we put skylights on, we took skylights off, we put revolving doors on, we took revolving doors off. We had, I think, finally, when we had the money to go ahead and do this, we had, I think, 5 sets of architects that went over a number of years that had proposals. And then it was so much fun working with the college, the Maine Historic Preservation Commission. Mm-hmm. So I got to work at that point with the president of the college, with the trustees. Mm-hmm. It was a big, big thing. And then when we ever finally had that ribbon cutting in 2007, I mean, I think we were all in tears, all of us who'd been working so, so, so hard to make this happen. And look at it now. I mean, you don't know anything.
No.
You don't know anything but how wonderful it is. And I remember. I mean, it's, and some of the now older alumni remember, but just it's what we really hoped would happen. I mean, every day I walk in, I was like, I can't believe we pulled it off. Mm-hmm. And it was hard work. It was hard work. We had a fabulous director, Katie Klein, who came in, and she was, I think, probably hired to get it done. I mean, I don't know, but Catherine Watson retired. And then Katie came in, and she had some architectural background. God, she just pushed it through, and she was fantastic. I mean, knowing what the museum needed and dreamed of doing. Of course, at this point, we're out of room again, but at the moment, we weren't. You know, and she said, no, we need this. We need to have a media gallery. New media is on the horizon.
Yeah.
There was a lounge, I think, where the Becker Gallery is. And she said, no, we need a Becker Gallery. We need a small exhibition space where students and faculty can really work, and we can work with them, get the works on paper out, get small shows so we can give our students and faculty experience doing that. And it's so much fun working with the faculty and the students because they bring a totally, totally different perspective. You know, from, well, I'm thinking of the one that Matt Klingel did this past winter on the environment. Yes. It was so much fun. I walked in and was like, well, this is not what I would expect. I mean, it's not what we the museum, we the curators would have done. It's this fabulous take on using pieces that I'm familiar with. I mean, and our collection is so amazing. It's just so amazing. You hardly see it on the walls. I mean, there's so much in storage and there's such depth to it. And, you know, we work and work and work to make sure that there are pathways in so that people can realize what we have. People, a lot, I'm looking at you, thinking of students. And also faculty. I mean, that's what we're here for. You go to other colleges, you don't get to look at original works of art in your class. You don't get to curate an exhibition. We can do that. I mean, so I'm really, because there's been so many exhibitions. I mean, and I have some really memorable ones, of course, but they're not, but I really, it's got to be that culmination of what we did. And now, just the excitement of seeing where we're going, you know, what we can do, that we're bringing in these loans, that we're sending, it's amazing.
Oh, that was amazing. I've never actually heard the story of the renovation. I just, whenever I'm on tours, I'm like, oh yeah, like it was renovated in 2007. Like just like a quick fact, but I've.
Oh my gosh, it was huge. We had no climate control. We didn't have an accessible entrance. I mean, and that was why we went through so many architects, I think, because they couldn't figure out how to get into the building. We were crammed in offices. We didn't have a classroom. And it just all worked out. And it was so tricky doing it. They had to raise the building, the whole original building, the 1894 building, and hand dig these poor guys with these little tiny shovels. You look in the hallway, look up in the hallway with the stone wall in one of the niches, and there's a little shovel. That's the shovel that one of the guys used to dig out because they had to do it gradually or it would have racked the foundation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it looks, I'm glad it just looks like it's just normal now, and as it should be. But, I mean, some of us still have that memory of, oh, my God, it was a roller coaster ride and so much fun. Mm. Some of the trustees that were trustees are still around, and we remember. Yeah, and I remember one, David Becker, who was a fabulous guy, collector, curator, not here, but donor. I remember just looking at each other and just, you know, we actually burst into tears when at the ribbon cutting because we just could not believe that it was done and that students like you would never know.
Yes. Oh. Well, that's just amazing. well, One last question that I'm making sure to hit with everyone is, what is one word of advice you would give to those interested in getting into museum work?
Oh, it has to be one word.
No, I'm sorry. Sorry, I really need to change that phrasing in case you had the same problem.
You know, just take every opportunity. You never know where it's going to lead. I think that, you know, the qualifications for things, but there are so many different sorts of jobs in museums at this point. And just follow, you know, take the internship, but take this thing. I never dreamed I would be here for so long. And you don't know where you're going to end up. Just take every opportunity you can and make the most of it. You know, and listen and find a mentor if you can. I mean, and I think you've probably got some right on staff here. Yes. Our curatorial staff is fantastic. Always has been. But it just keep going forward.
Thank you so much for coming today, Suzanne.
I'm delighted. I'm sorry I burbled on too much.
No, not at all. Thank you so much for listening.